Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the stage Shona Ray and Matt Myra.
Hey guys.
Got some water.
Raven Ale.
Baltimore's own. the Wire.
Oh, I forgot we were near Baltimore. You fucked the Red Sox, you guys. Way
you
to
would,
be
you
dicks.
Would too if you had the chance.
Hang on a second. Your season meant nothing. I was up there in my office watching this game, and I felt my life flash before my eyes.
Because the other thing was getting the pointses? Because
the other team that was in the last places got the pointses.
You're not allowed to make the same guy that doesn't know sports joke as me.
I'm just saying what you're saying. I'm trying to break it down for you.
All right.
Anyway. You guys are jerks sometimes.
What? I didn't say anything about your dumb sports habit.
Baltimore. Oh, Baltimore.
That was the best. Like, it's like if you want to know like how real Chris is about like the kind of like from his material how you understand him. That's like I was like, oh, this guy we know. I was like, hey, that guy we know. He went to Green Bay to watch a football game, and Chris was like, oh, that's a fucking dumb idea.
Like, I'm the worst. I don't know. And you know, the hardest part is that. I guess because I look like a dude, people try to bond with me in public with sports, and I just, like, the only, like, and they'll go, yeah, you see that fucking game? Henson took that last one, like, 32 yards, and then McTavish missed that 32-yard
field. These are good fake names, Chris.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. My defense is that I act like I'm agreeing with them, and then I just start explaining a Doctor Who episode to them. I'm like, I know, and then when the doctor put the TARDIS in the middle of the Weeping Angels and removed it, and then they were forced to stare at each other and be held in a stasis, and then they just look at me, and the guy's like, that shit's not real, and I'm like, and you're never going to play in the NFL, and then I skulk away.
Smoke bomb.
Oh,
man.
Oh, my trap door stuck. When
smoke bomb, they're just like... I think about sometimes, like, because, you know, it's surprising to me how many people are into sports. And in the comedy writing area, it's like I'll be in a writer's meeting full of comedy writers, and, like, everyone will just start talking about the game. And I was like, maybe I should start watching sports. Like, maybe that's why I should get into golf.
No, start gambling on it. And then you will be into it.
Yeah? Yeah.
I guess I can understand from the fantasy aspect where you kind of...
Yeah.
You which imagine. Which player's fucking which dragon? Fantasy sports where Tebow fucking prays to a god that brings him fire dragons.
Then he takes an arrow to the knee.
Every time he does that.
Oh, a timely meme reference, my friend.
You're welcome.
3 weeks ago. It's a meme, Chris. It was over before it began.
When we're in a group and someone talks about sports, Chris kind of steps aside and points at me Like
I just throw like, a bat at him, like, here.
Here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Deanna Troi, and I can tell if they're lying. I'm your secret bridge weapon.
You're a weird sports empath.
Yeah.
That makes me want to talk about sports.
I did over the break. How was your break? We haven't done a Hostful since the break.
Yeah.
Since the Christmas, New Year's break.
Christmas happened.
Good. Yep. We stayed in town
and
drank and saw Battle Royale.
Which is really fun.
The fucking bloodiest Japanese movie.
It's Cinefamily. We saw it
at Cinefamily. I saw it on Christmas Day.
So I missed that.
And then I went to the Jewish deli down the street. And
Cantor's.
Cantor's.
And you could have just said deli. Really.
Well, I wanted to really point it out how un-Christmas it was.
It's called the kibitz room, everybody.
I went to the bar, we got deli and then went to the kibitz room and got wasted. It was a delightfully quiet evening until the weirdest band started playing. And the singer was this old dude that we thought was just bugging people for change. And then he grabbed the mic and just started singing Chuck Berry songs.
Did he have a cape? Was it that guy?
A sequins cape? Yeah, so in a sequins vest and a sequins jacket.
I have been there for that guy.
And a soul.
Yes, his soul is something.
Yeah,
I have been there for that guy, and then immediately after him...
I've been there for that guy time and time again.
I've been every time. I'm like, I'm here for you, buddy. And every time I have seen him, warming up in the corner is Tim Russ, who played Tuvok on Star Trek Voyager.
Really?
Like, tuning up his Stratocaster, and then... He goes out and plays Killer Blues.
Really?
Killer Blues.
Yeah, that's what I called it.
Tuvok.
Let's all absorb that.
Do you scream Tuvok from the crowd?
No.
That sounds like you were trying to, like, you're at, like, a blues club and you're trying to not be white. Killer Blues, guys!
You know, really sad. I saw the guy once who was the voice of Schoolhouse Rock, the guy who had all those...
No way, really? Was he short? And just...
Yeah, he was a document with feet. He was trying to get past.
You saw him today, earlier.
Yep,
today.
I saw him on the steps of the Capitol building.
Just sitting there.
Yep, just sitting there.
Oh, hey, Chris.
I'm an amendment.
99%.
They come to occupy the Wall Street Blues.
Everything's under construction, but we still have no jobs.
That guy, you expect him to be like just the educational guy, and he sings like really dirty songs.
Really?
I can't remember his name, but if you look him up, yeah.
The what?
Bill. Thank you, sir.
Bill. Yeah, just one name. It's just Bill.
Thank you, sir.
Well played.
Yeah. Well Bill's played. Gonna fuck you.
It's Bill A. Amendment. I watched American Horror Story over the break, which I fucking loved. Oh, it was so much fun.
I've only seen clips out of context. It looks dumb.
Well, it's fun.
Yeah, just like that. I see clips of people going, and then the Mongoloid came along, and then I was like, fuck you, and change the channel.
No, dude, seriously, if Jessica Lange does not get an Emmy for that show,
I'll be okay with it. My life will not change.
Let me know, that's the least straight thing you've ever said. If Jessica Lange doesn't get an Emmy for this one.
Oh, wow.
And I've heard you say, I'll suck your dick. And somehow, Jessica Lange not getting an Emmy.
Yep,
that's how Matt's been ending every bit tonight.
I don't know.
We've been like, we were walking here and just riffing around. And he's like, and then I suck your dick.
I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think sometimes when we do bits, we're actually telling the truth,
Matt. Truth and comedy, yeah. Matt.
Truth and comedy.
Listen, when Greta's not around, terrorists still need to die.
Remember, she can hear it. Oh, what were you doing when Gaddafi died?
Let's not talk about that.
Not to say that.
No, actually, what I literally was doing was fielding tweets from fucking people being like, whoa, is Greta blowing you?
Oh, right.
I'm like, it's not like a rule. It doesn't apply all the time.
It's just a standard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jonah, this is the absolute truth, was Wednesday night, I did your and Kumail's show at Meltdown.
Yes.
And then Jonah got on a plane and went to Jamaica
Well, first I went to Atlanta for
sorry.
What I found?
Hot Atlanta.
No, you're not allowed.
I went down to the ATL.
Yeah.
Yep.
404 represent.
Now, has anyone ever made the joke that if you go to the 404, that Atlanta's not there? That's a computer joke.
Oh my God, that's great.
And then you just get there and it just says Atlanta not found. Someone had to have made that joke.
On the map, it seems everything was there. The address was there. No, we flew into Atlanta and on the way there, on the red eye there, I found out from Deanna that she got the cheapest ticket and there was a 5.5-hour layover.
Oh, so this was Thursday,
I think.
And today
is Wednesday night.
And today is Friday.
Is it?
So you went to Atlanta and then had a 5.5-hour layover then and then went to Jamaica?
Then flew to Jamaica. And then took a 2-hour, very scary van ride to what is called a beaches.
To call what?
Beaches.
What is that?
Is that
a resort themed after the Barbara Hershey movie?
It's That'd the be fucking weird, saddest that was sad. Fucking place.
Then that would be it.
You get in free if you got cancer and a daughter.
I'm listening.
But it's like Sandals Resort, but it's with families. And we didn't know that. We got there and just in time to like go and get the buffet. Standard Jamaican fare. Prime rib. And muffins.
Oh, getting all irie there, are you?
Oi, oi. Raka. Would you like a refill on your lemonade? Purika. And then, all of a sudden, a stage by the pool lights up, and there's Sesame Street characters singing and dancing. It's a family resort. It's a fucking families everywhere.
Oh, Beaches is a family resort?
Yeah, it's the family version of Sandals.
Oh, no. So essentially, you escorted Deanna to Jamaica and then came to D.C.
Yeah, then I woke up at 3:30 to get on another sketchy van ride back to the Montego Bay Airport. You know, the van ride to the resort was full of people from Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's like the driver was like, all right, who are you and what are you doing in Jamaica? Yeah, it was like fun and festive. And I grew up in an island nation, and sure. It was all fake, I can tell. All these fucking, the way people were treating all these fucking rich asshole white people. It was all fake. And then there's the first lady, I'm Mary, I'm from Wisconsin, and I'm going to a wedding. I'm Tina, I'm also from Wisconsin. 4 people from Wisconsin. In the fucking van with
us. What if they didn't know each other?
Oh, they all went to separate resorts.
That's fucked up. What if they didn't?
I know, right?
What is Wisconsin doing?
You got a good
deal. It's too cold for a wedding. Yeah. Have some cheese.
Oh, well, Wisconsin is a glacier, you know, most of the year. So I'm trying to understand why they
would. That sounds like a weird compliment. That chick's a glacier.
She's a glacier.
She'll get there eventually.
She can melt my ice cap. What does that mean?
The glacier doesn't do that.
Exactly.
But like there's like it's like the some of the worst things I heard from the people on the way there was hearing them like audibly get tense when we stopped at a kind of a busy corner. Like there was like a busy corner, a lot of people walking around, and someone going, oh, "Are we?" And then the car went just like.
So you just mean that there were white people in the van, and you stopped in a busy corner with black people, and
yes.
The white people got tense.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, it was Jesus Christ.
And then this is best. There's like lots of, as you're driving along the coast, there's lots of like nice houses that didn't get finished. There's just because of the ups and downs of the economy there. So there's a lot of just, corrugated metal, like finishing these houses, and it's kind of a lot of shanty towns. I was trying to stay away from that term.
Right.
But
you
like,
failed.
Yeah, shotito. But there was the guy behind me is like, wow, look at these like houses in ruins. It's like we're in another country.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah,
I want to be literally like that.
It is.
Wait, what?
Yeah. But it's also like a parody in of itself. At the airport, there is a Bob Marley store.
Oh, come on.
There is.
Well, they must survive a lot on tourism, so I guess they got to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like on the way there from Atlanta, there was just this this guy wearing a Bob Marley shirt, Bob Marley hooded sweatshirt, Bob Marley baseball cap.
Wow.
How white was he?
Very fat and white. Very, very fat and white.
I went to the National Geographic Museum today. And I did. I saw a lovely exhibit on this hoard of stuff that was unearthed.
Did you see all of the National Geographics that Jimmy Stewart sold in It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
Reference that no one gets except me.
That's
anyway.
Why the mic cut out, because of how boring of a reference it was.
I was like, this is dumb,
the mic was like, I'm going to check out for a bit.
No, Jimmy Stewart's ghost came down. Somebody's talking about me.
His dream was
boo,
to travel.
Boo, I say a boo.
Then he had to stay. No, I made the mistake of going to the National Air and Space Museum by myself.
You feel bad because you cried by yourself?
No, I went in. I was like, I would take pictures of everything. a get up into the Apollo.
Please tell me you were doing that when you're like walking around. Hey, I take pictures of everything.
I just wanted to.
Look at that ship.
I just wanted to.
The Bugle's gonna love these snapshots.
Smile, Mr. President. Statue.
Hey, you see this? They're walking on the moon. No, and then I went up to the Apollo. Well, essentially the entire space program's laid out with the astronauts, and then I was.
They have the actual astronauts there? That's so crazy.
Just like, they're not doing much right now.
Armstrong just says,
boom.
Like, oh, when's this shift going to be over? I'm tired of just sitting here.
They were standing. No, but then I was like reading.
Thanks.
Anyway, I was reading about the Apollo thing, and Apollo 15 left a plaque on the moon dedicated to all of the astronauts and cosmonauts who died trying to get to the moon, so on. It's like, you know, like Apollo 1 and stuff. And then I was like, oh, I did start crying.
Really?
By myself.
Aww.
I was like, I better go before these
when you did that,
families think I'm creepy.
When you start crying by yourself, you're like, oh, it feels like home.
No, because someone's not going to be alone for much longer.
Oh, you're moving in.
We're moving in with Greta, everybody.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Why buy the milk when there's something?
I don't
know how that goes.
Well,
she's lactose intolerant.
But them titties aren't. Am I right?
I don't know I don't understand what that means.
I follow Twitter. It's crazy.
It is a little creepy.
I do love DC though. It's such a, and I'm not saying that to patronize
DC
you guys.
Pearson's great.
I was gonna make the same joke. The boy didn't have to sleep and never had to.
It's just that all these buildings are like famous people that you see them your whole life, and then you come here and there they are life size. Just these,
yeah, and they're all getting work done.
Yeah, but
just like famous people.
It is, no, I it is. You got a job on E, friend.
I'm in the building. It fucking rubs off on you.
Oh my God, the Statue of Liberty got those fake French tits. You better help her. I know that's in New York. But
I didn't
want someone
does.
To be like, that's not fucking here. Like, I know. I was just there. You don't have any statues here with boobs.
I know what you mean, though. It's just like you see the stuff growing up your entire life on
TV. And
then
TV. You see it, and it's so breathtaking. Just like the city's iconic buildings. And it never fails to kind of catch me, like, I feel like I can't believe what I'm seeing. And Mike Furman and I were touring through here maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, and we made it a mission to run all around Washington, D.C. and take pictures in front of buildings with the money that they're on.
Like, oh, I remember right that. I remember that. Yeah,
yeah, it was so much fun. Yeah. Trying to figure out, like, oh, no, this is Jefferson. Okay, yeah, no, yeah. It's over there. It's the White House. It was
that's
really
great.
Fun.
Yep. I went to the White House. I got off the train and just wandered up. I saw a sign that said White House this way. I was like, it can't be that easy. They wouldn't put the fucking leader of the free world in the middle of a fucking city where there's streets that bombs could be driven on. And then I went, and it was just fucking just right there. And it was...
Sniper's like, going to take you out right now.
I know.
You're stringing a lot of words together.
Wow, this Raven. Never more, huh?
You should have told me...
Thanks.
Wow. Wow.
So not the first person to make that joke.
But it is. It was breathtaking in also a weird way, just because the guy that's in that house right now, fucking like grew up in the same area as me. He's a fucking,
oh, Kenya. I get it.
Whoa.
Sorry,
you know,
guys.
Our fathers have a lot in common. You're the worst comedy partner in the fucking world.
No, I just I felt the need to defend.
Don't touch me.
I just felt the need.
When he gets tipsy, he hits me really hard. That's the thing you guys should know. He's such an asshole.
It's true.
All right, you guys keep talking.
Listen,
I'm going to go on to Gone Wild on Reddit.
It was crazy, though. There's like a fucking Hawaiian. There's a fucking dude that grew up in Hawaii.
He did.
He's
sure
local
he did.
Kind butter that stay up in the White House. It's fucking nuts, cuz.
Makes good.
Guys,
what did you just say?
Fucking, I'm also reading Sarah Vowell's Unfamiliar Fishes, which is making me fucking like very homesick.
Oh, do you ever go back to Hawaii?
Every once in a while. My
parents
just
live up here for some reason.
Hi, and Jay Leno.
What do you guys think?
I go back every once in a while. It's my parents live in an apartment in Waikiki, which is like to them, it's like, you know, they're like, oh, it's great. It's city living. You know, it's like there's like I was like, why? What do you mean? They're like, it's like we can walk a couple blocks to a store, and to them that's crazy.
Jonah, we're getting a Chili's.
Yeah. But yeah, so I go back occasionally, but I have to crash on a couch when I'm visiting home, and that's not very fun.
Oh, your parents? Do you got rid of your room or something?
No, they live in an apartment now. They live with my aunt. They have a fucking. My parents have a roommate.
Oh,
yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
No, they're all great. That's how it is in Hawaii, though, you know.
I was walking around here today being like, it's so awesome of them to leave all these sets up from those Nicolas Cage movies.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where he hid.
Yeah.
We walked in front of a Masonic Masonic structure of some sort.
It was the archives.
Oh, was it the archives?
That's where the secrets are, you guys.
Oh. I so wanted to get video of you in front of that saying your favorite line that didn't make the movie National Treasure of this money's trying to tell me something.
Dollar Bill's trying to tell me something.
Yeah. Dollar Bill's trying to tell me something. Yeah.
Fucking was like, I was so stoked for that line. I had a t-shirt
made. Covered it. We covered it in another podcast.
It got animated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, fuck you, Nicolas Cage. I don't mean that. I love you.
Yeah, haven't you seen...
This money's trying to tell me something.
Keep making
the movies. Is that Keanu Reeves?
Yep, that's Keanu Reeves doing Nicolas Cage.
We have to make it a question.
That's my Keanu Cage. This money's trying to tell me something?
Yeah. The devil's my father?
Wait, what?
The phone box is a time machine?
The angels have the phone box?
The bus can't go beneath 50 miles an hour.
Listen, all I'm saying 55. Is I think Keanu Reeves would make a great doctor. I'm kidding!
Doctor asks a lot of questions.
He really does. He really does. A lot of questions.
You'd watch that, though, right?
What?
If Keanu Reeves was the doctor.
No.
You watch what? Tron 2.
Tron 2!
I put that
underrated.
Off for so long.
It's actually a lot of fun to watch.
No, it's way, way, way overrated, and it got bad reviews. It's not.
I think you just said two very different things.
Yeah, you did.
No, it's way. Yeah. It got bad reviews, and for that, it was overrated.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. So, my argument stands. Case dismissed, Your Honor.
Next
I move for
case,
a dismissal.
Nerdier versus nerdiest.
Jack McCoy, your witness.
In Northampton, the ticket said Chris Hardwick's nerdiest podcast.
Yep. Hey, you know what? Why should
tickets? Hardwick's.
There were five apostrophe S's.
I loved it.
I really care.
When you were talking about the Masonic Temple earlier, like two red lights came from the crowd.
Oh, shit.
But like at the same time, I was like, oh, fuck. It's true.
They're going to kill us so we have no more secrets.
Masonic youth.
They bring us back and then we have no more secrets.
These are the tables we should be sitting at that look like we should be concentrating really hard to blow each other's heads up telepathically like in Scanners. You're the Michael Ironsides. Ironsides? That was a
Ironsides
Scanners. Old Ironsides is the USS Constitution.
Thanks.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. That's in Charlestown, Massachusetts, which apparently has the most bank robberies per Ben Affleck movie or something.
Per Ben Affleck
per
movie.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah. You can't get more bank robberies per capita Affleck.
I swear to God, if I ever meet Ben Affleck, I wonder if he's going to think it's funny if I go, so, where are you from? I wonder if I think that's funny.
How about them apples?
How about them?
That's the wrong. That's the wrong.
I know.
That's the other one.
What?
So what are you guys, you're going to CES next week.
Going to the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yep.
I'm waiting for it to smell worse than Comic-Con.
Yeah, because you got all those like post-masturbated guys coming from the Adult Entertainment Expo.
Oh, they're right
which
next
is,
to
it's
each
a
other.
Different
right
weekend.
Next to each other.
This,
oh, so, what?
Someone fucked up.
Yep.
I don't know who.
Yeah.
Everyone gets some, we call it the nerd flu because everyone gets sick because they're just, it's 150,000 people for CES. And there are like bad neighborhoods at CES when you get into some of the, to the side
like
halls.
And then you're like a discman. This has already been invented. What's going on?
You just get these weird like
that
shit
one. When is this coming
on?
Out? This will come out.
Next week.
Okay, so I can say this. Sony's like, hey, we got new stuff with the Walkman to me.
Wait. It's going to be out next Thursday. Is this going to be
Yeah,
in
it's
time?
Fine. The embargo's okay. off on Monday. I'm just, don't worry about
also,
it.
Also,
wait, don't say it now because these people can just.
Doesn't matter.
Also, do a better Sony impression.
It way matters. I'm not going to let you say whatever
Fine.
You're about to say.
Talk to me later, guys. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
It's not that good. Don't worry about it. Let's just say that the Walkman might be back.
Listen, as long as I can, as long as I can play my Boys to Men single, I will be happy.
That's not the one he got.
As long as I can listen to Martika's Toy Soldiers over and over again. That's all I care about. The 18-year-old doesn't
I had a couple Kasingles. I had Desiree's You Gotta Be on Kasingle.
Which you sang the shit out of at karaoke at my birthday party.
That's my fucking favorite song.
He sang that at my birthday party for karaoke.
You guys know Desiree? Let's all go to karaoke after this. I'll sing You Gotta Be. Because you gotta.
Why don't you sing it now?
That's not the song.
It is.
Yeah, that's the beginning of the song.
Oh my God, no! It's the, but that's so, like a. I'm figuring out that it's something else.
You have to think of the Oprah commercial.
What is that? You got a fucking microphone. What is it?
It's a song. You, sir, are correct.
No, dude, that's like another song.
What?
Guys, it doesn't matter. Let's move on.
No.
Yeah, let's go talk about some more electronics.
I want to figure this out right now in front of these people.
You could be mine. What?
Okay.
I like your smile. Bye. Shanice.
You know what I am doing at CES? Back to CES.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm putting my whole per diem check on black when I walk in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know why. You're just going to walk up to a roulette table and drop it
black.
Or did you mean Wesley Snipes in Passenger 57? Wait. Why would you ooh that? That's a fucking line from the movie, you tight ass motherfuckers.
You guys do have tight asses. Nicely done.
That is legitimately a line from Passenger 57. Always bet on black.
Oh, that's right. And also,
don't pay your taxes.
You're not going to make it. You will. And then Steven Seagal dies.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
No.
It's pretty good.
No. Don't put your per diem check on a roulette table.
Why?
Why give that
it's
money?
It's fun.
It's not going to be fun. It's going to be
done. For 14 seconds, it's fun.
That sounds familiar.
This is...
Chris, I'll suck your dick.
All right.
This is the guy that's like, it's like, oh, I'm so broke, I can't pay my phone bill. That he gets a check. He's like, I bought a guitar.
To be fair,
I'm not gonna go.
Kumail said the same thing. He heard him say, he's like the other day at Meltdown. He's like,
I
bought a bass, and Kumail's like, you're a child with money.
I did buy a bass, you guys.
What kind of bass?
A Hofner.
Oh, like a.
Yeah, I'm left-handed, and so is Paul McCartney. So I said, let's do this.
And do you even play bass?
I do now.
Oh, Matt.
Oh, I'm not kidding. I'm actually really good. Turns out the top four strings of a guitar are the same as a bass.
Yeah, they're way fatter. Oh, I get it.
Yeah. That's so weird.
I don't get it. Why did they go O?
I don't know.
Yeah, some people, they think they hear something, and then they just get all tight-assy.
Anyway, so yes, I can play the bass because I can play the top four strings of a guitar.
So are you rocking Beatles?
I have gotten through the Beatles catalog up to Rubber Soul.
Really?
Yeah.
Until you buy another thing on eBay?
I'm looking for a Rickenbacker.
Rickenbacker? Who's from fucking Boston? I'm looking for a Rickenbacker.
No, I'd say I'm looking for a Rickenbacker.
Rickenbacker.
Looking for a Rickenbacker. Turns out they don't make lefties anymore after 2008.
Oh, shit. No way.
Fucking quiz.
Is this...
He said that in a character, so please.
It wasn't me.
It was Boston.
It was the city
it wasn't
of Boston.
Me, Boston.
You are fucking quiz.
I didn't mean to call you a faggot. I'm Boston.
And after you done robbed the Sox of their baseball trophy or whatever it's called.
Hardwick, you shut up. You know nothing
baseball.
About the Sox. Go suck a dick, you non-drinking faggot. Again, that was a character.
You know what? And truthfully, it was fair. You put me in my place. Yeah. It was much deserved.
I'm going to have some beer, Hardwick. You want some? Oh, I forgot. You're a pussy. That's what
character.
They would say.
That's what they would
That's
say.
That's what the city of Boston says.
You dumb
says.
Pieces of shit for buying tickets. That's what a Boston person would say. Not me.
So they wear red socks? I don't understand.
They do. Matches the uniform.
Very clever.
Yep. That's why there were Red Sox and White Sox. Oh, sorry.
And Portland should be the Plaid Sox.
They should be.
I'd vote for them to win. That's how sports work.
Yeah, it's a it's a democratic system.
Yeah.
They all go up and perform, and then the audience votes. The audience...
I love that color pattern. Vote for them.
First is something called a caucus, which means nothing. Then there's something called an electoral candidate, which I don't know what the fuck that means. I thought I just went and voted for shit.
What else, Andy Rooney?
Am I dead? Because he is. Think about that. I don't get dying.
The pearly gates are really more iron.
It turns out you have to pay to be buried. In my day, we just dug a hole and put and grandpa just,
and
in.
And you just hear under the lid.
Shut it down.
I don't get the 9/10 on a gas pump. What is that penny?
That's real. You don't.
What?
That's a real thing he complained about.
Good for him.
When parody crosses over into reality, it can destroy the bit.
Here's a good mashup.
What's with the cotton in medicine?
God!
Here's a good mashup. Let's do Andy Rooney Mara and make him the star of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Why don't you take your pants off?
Daniel Craig's always breathing on my face. Man.
It's okay.
I've got
have
a thing or two to show those rapists.
What's with Daniel Craig's chest? It gets bigger.
Chris Hardwick, Jonah Ray, and Matt Myra in The Three Andes, now playing at the 930 Club. Tickets are only $25.
Refunds at the door.
Hey, guys.
Oh, shit, you know what?
Oh,
there was something I was playing with.
What? You want a new phone? Don't take it out.
Yep, take it out. I won't suck it.
I think I figured the song out on Bebop.
What?
We're going to have musical accompaniment today. Thanks to Bebop and Jonah Ray.
Here we go.
Turn it up just temporarily.
You need to turn your phone up too.
I did. It's all the way up.
Okay, there we go.
All right.
It sounded
really good.
We were also having drinks.
I figured it out. You just can't hear it.
No, yeah, I know. It's us.
No, wait, you guys. Wait. It's not in tune. Wait.
Dude, I was totally doing this at home.
It's the Clemens theme song.
Yeah.
Let's just go to Clemens.
I feel like I just got raped by an observatory.
That's why I was crying.
There it is.
Okay.
I'll probably cut all that out.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a question.
It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. Wait, it's a question?
I understand.
But it's a comment.
But wait, how can it be both?
It's a question. It's a comment.
Because it's a comment.
Oh.
Guys, there's a microphone at the front of the room.
Yeah, North Face, we're talking to you.
Yeah, so... If you want to line up, we are going to answer live Quemens here at the 930 Club.
Get behind him.
Not everyone! We can't answer 750 questions.
I can. See you in the back.
We probably have time for like seven or so Quemens, and then we have a special surprise for you.
There's a mic up there.
Oh, what am I doing? All right.
Sit your ass down.
I like to sit on tables.
When I was in Boy Scouts, I was so fat, I sat on one of these types of tables and snapped it in half. In my fucking Class A Boy Scout uniform.
Great. All right, let's do this. What do you got, Beer NASA?
That happened with me with the sink, so it's okay.
What's up?
Happened with the sink?
Yes.
You're using it wrong.
Sinks are for washing, not for sitting.
Yeah. Take a shit somewhere else, weirdo.
Yeah.
I actually was wondering, how do you decide how to deal with a heckler?
How do I deal with the heckler? Well, I just told that guy to fuck himself in the face. It was pretty simple.
So pretty much that's how I handle an entire audience.
I don't mind. I mean, you know, heckling is... A lot of times people just want to be involved in the show or they think they're helping, and it's usually not malicious.
And to be honest, he was really right.
Says the hipster.
Man.
I mean, you know, listen, if someone's just trying to dive bomb a show and they don't shut up, eventually the crowd will turn on them. But, you know, sometimes it's fun. It's sort of a verbal sparring match. And it also, for me as a performer, it just keeps me present in the show. So that I don't go into autopilot with bits that I've done many times before. It just sort of...
Don't talk to him that way. I got
yeah,
it.
Jonah, thanks,
I got
buddy.
It.
You
I
totally
got it,
told that motherfucker.
Got it. You go, shut up.
Come on. Come on.
So anyway, so that's sort of it.
All right.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Well done.
What is your name, sir?
My name's Rob.
Rob, what's your equipment?
First off, I want to admit in front of everybody that I, too, am a Dave Matthews fan.
Yes. The other guy.
Oh, yes, I'm the other one.
Oh, how dare all of you.
Thanks for your equipment. Move
wait,
on.
Wait. Why? What is with the viciousness of the booze?
You know why?
I went to school in the mid-90s, and I'm still holding on.
Me too.
I went to school in the mid-90s, too, and you know what I was listening to? Fugazi. I would have said a different band in a different town.
I
you guys are just as white as a Dave Matthews audience.
It's true. He's got you there, yeah. DC.
Look at that guy. Look at third. Shit. That
you get
felt
on stage.
Weird.
There's
that
three black guys
so
in the band. Come
even
on.
Though, even though
two
he
black
was like,
guys.
Even though he was raising his hands,
wait
like
a
me
second.
Going, look at that guy.
The legitimate question I have is, I've got a little one on the way. And other than Star Wars and Indiana Jones...
Name it what? David Matthews.
I like how you span all genres. Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
Well, hey, that's what I love. So what...
When your wife's giving birth, are you just going to stand over her and go, crash out of my wife. Hike up your skirt a little more. And show the crown to me.
I would have gone with an Ants Marching parody.
What other basic stuff do I need to... I have a fresh slate to corrupt.
Well, after Star Wars and Indiana Jones, get him on Witness and the Fugitive.
Here's the problem is that we, as kids, a lot of times rebel against what our parents force on us. So in a weird sort of fuck with your kid's mind, you should force sports and shit onto him as a kid so that he'll reject all that in his teen years and get into the really good nerd shit. Because if you make him watch Star Wars, like if you force him to watch all the stuff as a kid and like, no, this is Battlestar, it's important. Yeah. Like he's going to get all confused and angry at you and be like, I want to go to...
Fuck you, Dad. He's going to hide his football underneath his bed. What is this? What is this?
Dad, you're such a fracking jerk.
Oh my God, I've never loved you more than in this moment right now, son.
Papa's little boy's growing up. You know, fucking the Disney version of Robin Hood. I don't fucking give any kid a boner.
You know, good comedies like Ghostbusters and Fletch and Caddyshack, you're going to want to throw on your kid.
Yeah.
And then
all the family-friendly ones.
Show them the Marx Brothers, please. Someone do that.
Yeah, there you go. That's something to watch. Oh, and like all old Mel Brooks stuff. You know, my dad showed me all
my
that
dad
stuff.
Spaceballs.
Yeah. Awesome.
Not quite old Mel Brooks stuff. Yeah.
Show him Star Wars and then show him Space... No, fuck with him. Show him Spaceballs and be like, this movie's based on Spaceballs. Yeah. Like, show him Star Wars second.
And his son will be like, what an interesting version of a parody. I'm assuming you're having a son.
Yeah.
Hope so.
Those two robots are so funny. Yes, son, that's C-3PO and R2-D2, the first out and proud cinematic gay couple.
Yeah, there it is. Why does he not sound like Joan Rivers?
This poor guy is trying to walk back to his seat like, I got it.
Yeah.
Please, I got it.
Please, go forth with our knowledge.
Well, nice thank you.
Have a good time. Congratulations.
Nice shirt, though.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that zombies can't, bears can't be zombies, so...
No, it's a mutation in whatever the fuck that is.
Take it off.
Well, thank you for being here. Right. Congratulations on the young one on the way. These other people don't really seem to care because they hate children for some reason. Guys, you know that's where people come from.
Wait, so
guys,
you guys...
Guys, come on. Adolescence forever!
We're never going to die.
You guys cheered the shit out of a birthday, but an actual birth, you're like, meh. Yeah.
All right, what's your... what is your name?
Hi, my name is Carla.
Carla, what's your equipment?
Can I give a quick shout out to my best friend? Her birthday is today, so.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Get onto the mic.
Say it on the mic.
Just get close to the mic.
Happy birthday, Candace. Just by the way.
Happy birthday, Candace.
Yes.
You did it, Candace. You're older.
Yo, happy birthday, Candace.
Anyway, this is a question for Matt.
What's up?
How did you begin, like, that journey to lose weight because I'm trying to lose weight myself.
Okay, I can tell you exactly. I can tell you exactly what happened. We were at Sketchfest.
SF Sketchfest.
We were at SF Sketchfest last January, as a matter of fact, and I was walking everywhere, and it sucked.
And then you got that chocolate bear claw.
That was a true story. Yeah. I got a chocolate. We were walking past this place, and there was a chocolate covered apple fritter, and I was like, that fucking needs to be inside of me.
And then halfway through, he was like, oh, fuck.
I was like,
oh, fuck, what'd I do?
I ate it, and I was like, I ate half of it, and I was like, this did not live up to any of my expectations whatsoever. And then that.
We did the podcast with Tim Ferriss.
We did the podcast with Tim Ferriss, which, if you haven't listened to, listen to it. And he was talking about things, and I was like, you know what, I could probably do this. And then what actually clicked in my head, because I'm a little weirder probably than most of you. Actually, you know what? What the fuck am I talking about? You guys listen to us. We're all that weird. What clicked in my head was the way I treat my car, which is I genuinely...
He fucks it all
I do
the time.
Sometimes. No, I genuinely like love my Jeep, and then I was thinking about my guitars, and I was thinking about like, I wouldn't put shitty gas into my Jeep. You know what I mean? I wouldn't put like garbage in there. I wouldn't let it not get washed for weeks and stuff like that. I take showers every day regardless of how fat I was.
Side note.
The point is that I started to think of my body as something that was like, oh, this is this thing that you have that if you maintain it, it gets better. So that's sort of the brain, that's sort
like
of
a
the brain switch I had. Sure, if I could get one, that'd be great. If anyone has a lefty out there, let me know. Looking for a 325 Jet Go. Okay, anyway. But yeah, so I just sort of, you think of your body not so much as a body, just think of it as like this thing that you have and you gotta maintain it correctly. Otherwise, you'll just die.
All right.
Perfect.
It's true.
And that, yeah.
Just like try it, like kind of dare yourself to do it. Yeah. And then, like, because I did it for a while, and it, yeah, you,
and literally,
like, you just start losing weight. But then even if you don't stick with it, you learn during that time that, like, just like, oh, well, if I just did this, it would make a world of a difference.
Yeah, get back. It's a little steps, and then you eventually the whole thing is done. And that fucking cheat day is the best.
Yeah. But also make sure you're doing it because it's something that you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think you're adorable, and I don't think that, you know, like you shouldn't like if anyone's.
Yeah, listen.
Know. Just make sure you're doing it for you.
If Greta wasn't around, I would totally do you.
Well, she's not around, Matt.
But she does listen to the podcast.
I take it all back. I'll cut that out. I'm not going to cut that out.
See, this is why I'm asking you, because first of all, I have my first job. I make burritos all day. So
nice.
Like I stand all day.
I worked at an ice cream store all day, and let me tell you, I got fucking sick of ice cream fast, and I lost a lot of weight not eating ice cream.
Yeah, so like my body's not really accustomed to standing all day because it's like my knees hurt. And
Get comfortable shoes. Yeah. I stood all day at the Apple Store.
And
they should have like a
mat.
It's a burrito
ground.
Place. They don't have a mat back there.
Yeah.
They're supposed to.
Comfortable shoes are your number one friend. I would get some ASICs.
So go to the Whole Foods, get some Toms.
Don't get Toms.
In the environment.
Do you have an iPhone?
iPod Touch.
Do you have an iPod Touch? Oh, you have an iPod Touch.
Yeah.
If you get the Nike app and you get those Nike shoes, they're not any more expensive than regular shoes. Like they can track your walks and stuff.
And the Lose It app is fantastic.
Yeah, Lose It app is really good.
You just track everything and then it's all
in
there.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, because like, listen, I was 1 year ago today. I was 97 pounds heavier than I am right now.
Wow.
And you can do it too.
No, guys. He just broke up with a skinny girl. That's what he meant.
Oh.
No.
Raka.
Greta's like a buck 20.
Greta's adorable. Shit, Joe, Greta got so many, like, I felt uncomfortable what people were saying about her in the Nerdist
TV show
audience.
Funny. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We always overstay their welcome.
No, I know. Yeah.
It's the guy I was talking about.
Good to meet you too.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait a second.
Yes. All right, my question's nowhere near as serious as that. Out of all the old classical doctors, which was your favorite?
Well, Tom Baker was really the one that we got in the States, you know? In the old days, before new media, I know this is crazy, especially the 18-year-olds, we had to watch whatever was on television. And if you missed it, you never saw it again. So we just, you know, we got Tom Baker on PBS, and
I like going back and watching them. I enjoy the Third Doctor quite a bit. He had a car.
John Pertwee.
Yeah,
that's John Pertwee. That's Craig Ferguson's favorite Doctor because it's the one that he grew up with.
Yeah, I might like some of those if the shows weren't so fucking boring.
Oh, Jonah.
Thanks, guys. It was great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Hello.
Hi. I don't know if you remember me, Chris, but I was the one with the big Dalek plushie at Arlington Draft House, and I gave you the TARDIS plushie that you brought up at the podcast.
The TARDIS plushie is still in my apartment on my couch.
That's true.
I told you that I made stuff for Jonah and Matt, so I did. So I actually have stuff for all three of you at the meet and greet.
If it's a severed head, I'm going to be very upset.
Will you really?
It's like a gun rack.
A gun rack.
What if she's like loves the podcast so much and she just brings Dave Matthews Severhead and like, it's for both of you.
No!
And then I just
start
like drinking the blood. I go,
guys, listen, the only left-handed Dave Matthews signature Martin is on eBay right now for $10,000.
Did everyone else just fall asleep?
Seriously, if each of you gave me $10,000.
All right.
So what's your question?
Okay, first, the other comment I have is thank you so much for your book, because it's really actually helped me a lot.
Oh, well, thank you.
Finding friends and actually trying to get forward with what I want to do with my own personal business.
Cool.
So that really means a lot. Secondly, here's the question. For all three of you, it's a Doctor Who question.
Yeah, I already said the old one's son. Right.
You guys always bring up like your favorite episodes like Blank and everything else, but what was your key on favorite episode that you can watch all the time with no questions asked, and what is the worst episode that you've ever seen that's a new series that you're just like,
I can answer both of these questions.
I loved Empty Child, which I think was also written by Moffat under the Davies administration.
The mummy?
Yeah. Are you my mummy?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a two-parter. That's, you know.
And I mean, I don't know. Worst ones, I don't know. I mean, I have such an affection for the show that I feel like I don't ever see one and go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like,
it's rare because it's just each episode is a delight and it always has it. No matter how shitty the story might be,
what the fuck? No.
Like comparatively, like if it's not, into it, if it's not classic, like unlike, Lost, it's like it's fucking that storyline ends and you're like, oh, that's over. On to the next story, and you don't have to be, you know, like it's like, well, this is going to keep on going and be horrible.
Yeah, Lost, that thing that wrapped up.
Yeah. No. But like, it's like Lost. It's like it always.
It's a long arc.
It's a long arc.
Stuff gets resolved at the end of every episode.
Yeah. But I'd say Curse of the Black Dot. I could do without that.
I could do without Rose, the pilot.
Oh God.
I'm that guy. I'm sorry. I fell asleep a lot.
Well, the pilot with the living plastic was a little like it was a pilot. It felt like, well, this is a pilot.
Yeah. And the episode that honestly I can watch constantly is The Lodger. Just for some reason, I just fucking constantly can watch that. He looks so good in shorts, you guys.
Well, thank you for being here. Yeah. We'll see you afterwards. We have time for a couple more questions because we have a very special surprise for you. Very special surprise for you.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, my comment or question was actually just taken by the person in front of me. So I'm going to think of one really quickly off the top of my head. But first, I did want to say thank you for single-handedly making sure that everyone else in my office thinks I'm more batshit crazy than I already am for laughing blatant out loud in the middle of a quiet environment.
Oh, that's nice.
That's great.
I'm glad we could thank you
next
very
time
much.
You do it, you should just turn your computer off and just see if I can just laugh like you do. She's not even looking at a weird cat. She's not even looking at a weird... We're going to get coffee.
Okay, so a quick question, because it just topped off the top of my head. I've been watching a lot of Stargate the past, like, how long? And that answered per the question. I was going to ask if you are a fan of Stargate, not a fan of Stargate, completely indifferent of Stargate, have no clue what
what's
the
a Stargate?
Stargate is. That was yes.
Like the movie?
I like
no, the no, movie. No, no, no. It's when two buttholes kiss.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the thing we do.
I love Stargating. Ghosts! Yeah, I love the Stargate. Yeah.
But when you do it, it's Star Rape, really.
I really enjoyed the Stargate movie. Stargate series was, I just didn't.
It filled my MacGyver void a little bit.
Oh, Richard Dean Anderson.
I do love Richard Dean Anderson.
Who doesn't?
But I never really watched the Stargate series. I think it was one of those things that I always just thought, I'll sit down one day and just watch it all at once. But
I suggest you do.
Oh, whoa. Well, duly noted.
And then continue Stargate. To Atlantis and then ignore universe.
Stargate was that in Farscape too. I never got into.
Woo! Yes.
Farscape's cool.
Stargate, then go to Farscape.
Yeah, Farscape's awesome. Okay. Well, cool. Thank you very much for being here.
Fezzes are cool.
Fezzes are, and so are bow ties.
Bow ties are cool. Nice.
A homemade fez.
Awesome.
Couple more questions. Yes. So,
hi, guys.
Hello.
I have a question for Chris.
Yes.
Thanks to Nerdist Industries, I've been listening to the Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Yes, Thrilling Adventure Hour.
There you go, yeah.
The old-time radio show podcast. Done in the style of the New Time podcast. And it's amazing, and I really enjoy it. And I was wondering, what's it like to be on that show? How soon do you get the scripts? What's like the performance?
Yeah, what is that like, Chris?
We're never asked, so
I have no idea.
Well, they only have the best people on the show in the industry, and so it's a real honor to be involved in what is truly the creme de la creme of comedic performers.
He's not wrong.
No. Okay, yeah. Backstage, it's Thrilling Adventure Hour has been going on for quite a few years. Thrilling Adventure Hour started at this place called the M-Bar, which is where Comedy Death Ray started, where we started Comedy Death Ray, you know, years and years ago, where Aukerman started, but we all performed there when it started. And then Thrilling Adventure Hour then moved to Largo, and it's so unbelievable. You get the scripts a couple days before, you do like one rehearsal, and then it's like day of. And it feels like what it must have felt like to do like old vaudeville theater, like people run, I need to be on stage, running back and forth, everyone's dressed, not vaudeville, like radio theater, like it really is, like everyone, you have to wear suits. And
everyone's on heroin.
But we called it pickup juice.
Yeah, pickup juice.
It was old timey.
So it really is an amazing experience, and they just get the most amazing people. Like Paul Tompkins and Padgett Brewster and Beyond Belief are so mind blowing. But everyone's great on the show. And
if anyone else hasn't listened to it, you should really. That's a fucking great podcast.
It's really a dream of mine to see it live someday.
Yeah, I hope they tour it at some point. But if you're in Los Angeles, they do pretty regularly, monthly at Largo, and it's really great to see. So cool. Yeah.
Right. Thanks.
Of course.
Thank you.
Next.
Whoa. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Oh, wow. God, that was loud.
But we don't.
I'm going to do my best and not gush because I want to treat you guys like normal people. And this is meeting hero.
We're not fucking normal.
Hello.
Hello.
Not normal, but, you know. Like, anyway, my name is Mike Manetica. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Mike.
Hi. I've got a two-parter. I'm going to be that douche nozzle. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
First question. All right. This past summer, got into Doctor Who, changed my life. I'm immediately better because David Tennant's a god. Anyway, I want to show people how amazing Doctor Who is, but I'm having a hard time picking which first episode to show them because I want to show them Matt Smith because he'd be like, hey, look, stick with it. The show does get a budget. But
well, Jonah, the first episode Jonah watched was Blink, and he was sucked in.
Yeah.
I mean, the pilot's all right. It could scare people off, but I think the second episode is really great.
It does, but
they go to the year 5 billion. Like, it's fucking amazing.
It does, but, like, you know, there's a weird thing where you, all of a sudden, you know, you're used to watching 16:9, you're used to watching widescreen, and when you go back to that first episode, that second episode, the first season, it's 4:3, and it's a little off-putting because it's not in HD, and it just you're like, oh, and everything looks a little bit worse. It's a great season, but it really, Blink is just... Because it's so standalone, and you get a vibe for the entire show, and it's as scary as Stephen King's It was when I was a kid. Like, it just fucking... I think it's the perfect thing. It's like, oh, I get it. It can be fun. It can be scary. It can be exciting. It could be all these things, and I didn't have to know anything else. I didn't have to know the history at
it's
all.
It's really tough to rope people into Doctor Who if you show them the classic episodes, because they move slowly because it's old television. And
watch this set fall.
Yeah. Hey, let's travel to the other side of the set. 15 minutes later, a new scene!
Yeah. So it's, you know, I would say, you know, it's
Blink is the
answer.
Answer
but blink,
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 is the
blink
answer.
Is your answer.
Cool. Yeah, awesome.
Right. Do it.
So, second question, a little more.
More
personal.
Like, do blink.
Hang on, this question's personal. Let's hear it.
Hey, man, come on.
Sorry.
Come on, I'm up here. I walked up here. So, anyway, I'm actually moving to LA in September to follow my dream to become a cinematographer. Do you have any advice?
What kind of a dream is that?
A foolish
it's a fucking
one.
Great
where
dream.
I make no money and become a barista.
I think that's a great dream.
It's a great dream. I know.
I think
I know
your
a
dreams
number of cinematographers
are worse than mine. and mine are terrible.
No, his are actually something that can be attained.
I think
it's like that's great. All you should really do is just shoot everything, and like it's like even though you might not want to be an editor, maybe you might not even want to be a director, but just like shoot stuff, edit it together, put it together in iMovie or you know Final Cut or whatever you have. Like make cool shots, make a bunch of different types of things. Show people what you can do.
You can even shoot stuff on your phone just to practice composition and just see.
I think he's like,
I'm better than
that.
I'm really good. He's making
the like, you know, like Vimeo is also, that's like the film in LA. That's everyone I know that's a filmmaker uses Vimeo because of the quality of the video. But it's a great move.
You know, like work for free as a camera PA, like work with, like get experience doing that, like work on student films, AFI.
Yeah. Become involved in Channel 101. Channel 101 is a great community of short filmmakers that just, it's a Dan Harmon, the guy
who
created Community,
and
Rob Schraub, the guy who co-created the Sarah Silverman program. These are guys that, like, every month there's people that submit 5-minute episodes of just, like, whatever, and everyone votes to see what they want to come back. It's just the best training ground you could ever be involved in. Channel101.com, just become a part of that. What? Yacht Rock came from there. Lonely Island came from Channel 101. It's like a lot of these things are it's great. You should really, and they're always looking for people to shoot stuff. So
there's the answer. All right, thank you.
It is. Channel101.com.
All right. Well, there. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Good luck to you. And come by Meltdown. Yeah. See us at Meltdown.
See you in L.A., man.
I mean, honestly, I think maybe just two more questions because we have a special surprise. There's a special surprise that someone's been waiting. And I don't.
We'll blaze through them.
Okay.
What's up, weirdo?
Well,
yeah. Doctor Who. See you next.
What's your...
I've waited in line for so long. And I know. Well, that's a good thing, actually.
No one else get in line.
You look like the... Serena to Jonathan Colton's Samantha, if that makes any sense.
Well, I just want to say that I love you guys. I'm unlike the last guy, I want to gush because I think you guys are great. And I'm here with two of my best friends who are over in the corner. And I've been gushing to everyone I know about the fact for the last 2 months that I'm coming tonight. And I can't believe that people are not sick of that. But anyway, my question is... a really weird one, and I totally do not get offended if you edit this out.
Sure.
I am a teacher.
I will not suck your dick.
We all have a good...
Well, see, here's my issue. I love you guys, and I've been obsessively listening to you for the last 4 months and listen to every episode. I love everything that you guys have said, and especially in the last few months, I've been noticing some things that you said about, like, education, about culture, about the way people deal with stuff and the way that people interact with media, the way that people interact with information, and the people interact with the general cultural information of the world. And I teach English and journalism, and... the thing that fascinates me is that I love my kids, but there are things that they just don't understand. They have no concept of it. They're not in the world like that. And the problem is that I would love to do something like you guys have said, start my own podcast, start my own blog, whatever. But I legally cannot do that. I don't know if you're aware, but teachers, firefighters, policemen, et cetera, are considered semi-public officials.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally cannot do things that we could say, like, I hate my job, I hate this, I hate that, because literally we are considered public officials where we cannot badmouth anything, we can't say anything about our jobs, our students, etc. And I would love to be able to
just
do
pretend you
commentary.
Work at the fruit store.
Just do a fake name. You know, they're not going to search it.
Well, see, you're funny. It's funny that you say that. I was talking to one of my friends today at school, and she made the comment, what if you just did it anonymously? And the problem is that if it ever got back to me specifically, I could be fired. Like, if we were to get a picture, I'm not joking about this, if we were to get a picture of ourselves taken at a bar, we're not drinking, we're not doing anything. If one
Take
of us
a
got
picture
that picture,
of him over there, guys.
I could be fired from my job.
So this, even asking this question, you could get fired?
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But my thing is that I love what you guys are saying, I love what you guys do, and I want to do something that I can make commentary about stuff and see if we can find a grassroots movement kind of thing to change.
Why don't encourage your students to start a podcast, and then they'll learn about media and journalism, and then you can force them to live out your dreams.
Or do a podcast... Yeah.
No, help your
Great
kids.
Idea.
Do
no,
a
no,
podcast
help your
where you don't
do.
Complain about enlightening the youth of America.
I think that's a good idea. Teach your kids about the blogosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
I do.
Then
the
make them
is...
start blogs, and then you are the editor-in-chief.
Valid points. Great. I want to again say thank you so much because you guys have given me so many options, and I appreciate it.
Guys, he's a teacher. Let him speak. Thank you very much.
Give him a round of applause,
listen,
assholes.
Only a teacher could have withstood all of the heckling.
What do you got? Argyle.
Hi.
Okay, really quick. I'm so sorry.
Really quick. You always say, oh, I'll just cut that out later. I always laugh because you never cut anything out.
I know.
But then
God
think,
damn it.
He does, though.
Does he cut things out?
Yeah.
And we just don't know.
There are some things, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
Okay. I made a bunch of like a raping dead babies joke once in San Diego, and he cut it out, and he'll cut this out. So thanks a lot for your comment.
All right. Thank you.
That's
true. For the most part, I don't. I just forget. I really do just forget. Okay. I'm sorry. This has got to be the last question. Otherwise, we can't.
So, hi, this question is for Matt.
Okay, one more question after that. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Rather than dropping your per diem on black,
yeah.
Why don't you go to the clinic and get your health problem taken care
of? Oh, he's all fine now. He's all fine now.
I can report back. All clear, you guys.
All right, good.
Oh, yeah, please air that so people stop asking me on Twitter. Also, the joke I made about my urine not even sounding healthy was literally a joke.
Yeah,
my urine's fine.
They're just concerned about you.
No more blood, guys.
Thank
we
you
did
so
it.
Much. Thank you so much for your equipment.
Sorry. All right, guys, we'll answer questions when we're, like, we'll be up here signing stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, after the show, the way it's going to work is we have T-shirts for sale. You don't have to buy one. You can, but you don't have to. We'll sign whatever you want. We'll take pictures. And then we'll literally just come back out, and you can and do it up here on the stage. So
you guys come up this way.
We're going to do it up here, you guys.
The other way, come up the other way. You come up this way, and
then we'll do the pics.
Signs and pics, and it's well lit. So if you have a fucking shaky, shitty camera.
We have a very special guest now who has been so incredibly patient and has been here for a few hours. There are two people that someone told me the day before I left. They said, these people are going to be in town for MAGFest, which is a music and gaming fest here in D.C. So I got so excited, I emailed her publicist and was like, please, I want to have her on the show. I typed it that way just so I could express the emotion.
You said it like O Fortuna. I must have her on the show. I must have her on the list. If she is not, I might just blow my fucking head off. I couldn't think of another couple syllables.
So this lady's husband, you may know as the voice of Sniper from Team Fortress 2. It's John Patrick Lowry and the voice of GLaDOS, Ellen McClain. Oh, you guys, please come over here and sit down for a minute so we can talk to you. Thank you so much. Oh, please, hugs. Hugs. I'm never gonna let go. I'm never gonna let go. You'll have to have me surgically removed. You guys, please, yes, please, over here. First of all, it is such an honor. I'm like nervous. Even, we were talking backstage, but now all of a sudden I'm nervous. Thank you for staying here for so long. I felt so bad that you guys were backstage while we're out here just making vagina jokes, and I feel so bad about that. But you guys...
I have one of those.
Oh, biting my tongue. But you guys, you've both done voices in so many video games that people, especially you, Left 4 Dead and Halo Reach and
I'm kind of like a mandolinist. I do a lot of games and I'm not famous. And you know, Ellen's the guitarist. She comes in and plays one note and everybody loves her. So you know.
So how long have you guys? How long have you been doing the voiceover thing?
Really, I got into video games early on. Sierra Online was up in Seattle back in the mid '90s, and remember them? And I think my first video game—I can't remember which came first. It was either Spy Fox breakfast cereal, in which I played the memorable Artemis J. Big Pig, or it might have been Betrayal at Antara, which. Yeah, there you go. Right, and so you know that was really back in the early days when they really didn't know how to use actors at all, And you'd go in and they'd give you a bunch of lines, and you know, use the actor would say, well, who am I talking to? And they're like, oh, well, the writer's not here. I don't know who you're talking to. You know, okay, well, it says, I want you. you just had no idea what was going on. At one point in Betrayal at Antara, I saw this line, goodbye, son. And I said, okay, what's going on? Why am I saying goodbye to him? And they had to call somebody. So why is he saying goodbye to his son?
He's either leaving or dead. I don't know.
Right. No, but that's what they came back with. Well, here's where the game branches. And your son is either going to go down the street and buy a loaf of bread and be right back, or he's going to walk through this dimensional gate and go to another universe and you're never going to see him again. So could you kind of say it so it would work either way? And so I said, goodbye, son. And they said, great, that's great. You know, I mean, they just had no idea how to use actors. But that's really changed in the last 10 years. I mean, people have really, you know, these guys want their games to be cinematic. They want them to be a cinematic experience, just like a movie. And so they've gotten their stuff together. They know how to use this now.
Ellen, how did you get involved with Valve?
Well, I got involved with voiceovers.
I love your voice.
Because my husband made me get a voice demo.
Really?
So it's all his fault.
Honey, you'd be a great murderous robot.
That's right. See, I knew her. I lived with her for a long time. I knew her special qualities, and I didn't want her to hide her light under a bushel. But, you know, I mean, really, Valve is up in Seattle, and we have an agent in Seattle, and when they were looking for voice talent, they just sent out auditions, and we auditioned, and that's how it works, you know, just like that.
Did you have any idea when you were doing the first Portal, did you have any concept of like, oh, this game, this Orange Box game is going to be the biggest, like one of the biggest things ever?
Oh, no, nobody did. I had already done Team Fortress 2 and Half-Life 2 for Valve, and then I got the audition for Portal, and they wanted me to sound like the computer-generated voice that they had been using in the game development. But they found out that that voice was copyrighted and that an actor would be cheaper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's true.
So
it's
true. Yeah. How did you, was there anything that you thought going into creating? I mean, I know GLaDOS's voice is auto-tuned
right.
in a lot of places, but right. What was your, it was really, you were just mimicking that computer voice.
I was mimicking the computer-generated voice. They wanted someone who could sound like that, so I am soulless, and I could.
And part two, you know, there was such a, like, GLaDOS was really, like, between you and Steve Merchant and J.K. Simmons in Portal 2, I really, and I've said this before, Portal 2 is one of the best, not just video games, but one of the funniest written things and performed things that I've ever heard in my life.
That is Eric Wolpaw and Jay Pinkerton and Chet Folasek. And they are very, very funny men.
Was there anything that that got, like, what was some stuff that got cut from Portal that you thought was funny? That
No, they kept all the funny stuff.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the lame stuff is all on the floor. So yeah. The funny stuff is all in the game, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, and I have to disagree with Ellen a little bit. When Portal first started, and of course, I don't know if you guys know the story of Portal, but it was really created by four students at a school as a senior project, and Gabe Newell was invited to the school to, you know, because it's a school in game design, to give his feedback. Gabe Newell is the head of Valve, and, you know, to give his feedback to these folks of senior projects, and he saw this one, and he hired the four students on the spot. And he basically said, okay, now you have no budget, give me a game. And they gave him something, and he said, okay, now you have a little bit of a budget, give me a better game. And it turned into Portal. But I tell you, I mean, when it started out, we didn't think anything about it. But by the time they gave Jonathan Colton's song, Still Alive, to Ellen, I could feel as, like, you know, and she was telling me some of the dialogue, some of the monologue, basically, you know, the way that she was insulting the player and stuff like that, and the whole idea of having this evil, you know, something that starts out to be helpful, it turns into be evil, and then is just insulting you on top of everything else, you know, and then to have this totally passive aggressive song at the end that says, you know, hi, I don't mind that you killed me, I'm really fine. You know, I mean, it was just so hilarious, and I knew it was going to do something. But then we had no idea. The day that it was released, we got an email from Denmark saying, people are in the street shouting, the cake is a lie, the cake is a lie.
People in the streets of Denmark. Just hordes of people.
That's right.
That's the cake.
Hordes of boring Danish people, you know, eating marzipan and, you know, saying the cake is a lie.
And Danishes.
That's right.
Maybe they don't.
They do.
Do people run up to you and force you to try to do GLaDOS lines all the time?
Well, no one recognizes me.
Well, they will after this.
That's right.
We're going to make you famous.
All right.
But they have to hear her talk to recognize, so they don't recognize her face.
But and also in that tone, too, like in that sort of...
Killing you and giving you good advice aren't mutually exclusive.
Oh. I gotta go. Something just came up. I meant an appointment. Well, it is wonderful to have you here, and also I also want to plug. You have a book, John, that you've written that is doing remarkably well on the Amazon.com right now. Dancing with Eternity.
Does anyone here enjoy science fiction?
Some of these people like sci-fi.
Seems like the wrong crowd, but
yeah, wrong demo.
Yeah, that's right.
These people love frat parties and bullying
sports.
People weaker than they are, and and the Kardashians. They love them. So I don't know if a lot of people are going to be into this sci-fi book you wrote, John, but it's called Dancing with Eternity by John Patrick Lowery. While I have you guys here, since you did reference the Jonathan Coulton song, would you please do a special favor for us here tonight?
We are prepared.
I said that like I didn't know you were going to do it, but I still had this fear that you're going to be like, we decided not to do that thing. But I would be so honored if you would take us out on the Nerdist podcast by doing the credit songs from the Portal games, if you guys would be so kind.
If you insist.
Yes, I insist! Ladies and gentlemen, Ellen McLean, John Patrick Lowery, thank you so much.
Well, sure, that Johnny's got to get. He's getting ready.
He's getting the old banjo. Oh, this is so amazing that you're doing this.
I only perform with my husband.
I'm going to sit back here and just watch you creepily. Play it, play it.
There's not going to be any of that hamster stuff, is there?
Except this time, I'm the hamster.
This is so short.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the hamster.
The banjo, you got to pull
on. He's
got
to get those... Think, you know, these things that you use to finger people with?
The bow, yeah. You mean fingers?
We won't tell you how we met. Okay, so.
You can consider this one a sing-along. This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science, we do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive. I'm not even angry. I'm being so sincere right now.
prefer to stay inside. Maybe you'll find someone else to help you. Maybe Black Mesa. That was a joke. To be done on the people who are still alive. And believe me, I am still alive. I feel fantastic and I'm still alive. I'm doing science and I'm still alive. While you're dying, I'll be still alive. And when you're dead, I will be still alive. Still alive. Still alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Patrick Lowry, thank you so much for being here. Oh, you guys were fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh, you're wonderful. Would you please, if I ask you to say something as GLaDOS, would you please say it?
Enjoy your burrito.
Thank you so much for coming out. Good night, Nerdist Podcast people. We'll see you in minutes. Good night!
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now, in hardcover or digital editions, wherever you get your books.